Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
Is this how we usually start this?
I'm Holly Fry. For some reason, my brain was like, why didn't she say birthday after you said happy? It's nobody's birthday.
No.
But just the way you led in with happy, I'm like, birthday.
I'm also just like, what? How do we normally kick off our Friday minisodes? It's been a strange week in our lives as of when we're recording this, and we don't know what the week will have been like when this comes out. But we about Olympe de Gouges.
Yes.
I did the thing where I was like, I should thank people who have who have suggested this topic. And there were so many. She's somebody that has been on my list for a really long time. And then there kept being things that made me go, I can't talk about somebody getting guillotined right now. And then when I started working on this and there was an attack on the Capitol, I was like, it's too late. I can't get away from the guillotine.
I'm in
thing.
Too deep. Yeah.
Yeah. I do not have time to switch tracks on this one. I did not know that there was all the stuff I said at the beginning of the episode about how like she's most famous for the Declaration of the Rights of Woman. But that wasn't actually what led to her execution. And that also was like just one tiny thing of her other work. Like I did not know anything about any of the rest of that.
Right. It's interesting. You know, her Declaration of the Rights of Woman made me think, of course, about the Declaration of Sentiments.
Oh, yeah.
But just to keep, because they're similarly modeled after an original document, switching out language pretty carefully. But it's interesting to note that hers, you know, predates that one by almost 60 years.
Yeah.
Right? Seneca Women's Convention was 1848, I think.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
So I have to naturally wonder if they were at least in part inspired by that.
Yeah. It also came out just a year before Mary Wollstonecraft's Vindication on the Rights of Woman.
Mm-hmm.
So like there was a lot going on that was she was sort of part of the early parts of. I found the lack of depth and clarity about her biography a little frustrating, That happens a lot of the time when we're talking about people from the long ago past. Like when we're talking about somebody from the 11th century and we're like, we don't know anything about their biography at all. That's not particularly surprising. But for somebody as relatively recent as Olympe de Gouges, it was a little frustrating. There is a website that is olympedegouges.eu that has English translations of a ton of her stuff. So in terms of reading English translations of her written work, there is a lot more available in English on that score than there is like in-depth analysis of her biography.
Right.
Maybe some answering of some of the questions about things about her life.
Right. I also, in reading this over, I looked this over this morning before we started recording, and I was reminded of a thing. I'm trying to think of the best way to talk about this. That I overheard in a hotel bar in LA back when traveling happened, which is this whole thing about her writing and whether or not she was the daughter of the Marquis de Pompignan. I was sitting in this bar and I was overhearing these people next to me. And this young woman who seemed lovely was having all kinds of conversations, but I noticed like she met with several different people while we were there. So I don't like one seemed to be like a friend that stopped by for drinks. One was like a quick business thing. And then one might have been a date. But at one point in time, she mentioned that she was the illegitimate, I hate that word, daughter of a famous person. Mm-hmm. And it was a famous person that I have interviewed. And I had this moment where I was like, I have enough connection back to that person, I could probably check this, but I don't know if she's just using this to get access to something. Like, it was just this really weird moment where you think about those things.
Yeah.
And the fact that there are a lot of people in the world who are not legally connected to their fathers.
Mm-hmm.
What that means, how that plays in the modern era compared to how it was playing here was not that different.
Right.
It just all gave me pause.
I rewatched the most recent Little Women on Christmas Eve, along with the one that starred Winona Ryder. I just had a whole marathon where I watched two different versions of Little Women in a row. But that scene in the one that came out, I think, in 2019, it starts off with this scene where Jo March goes to a publisher and is like, my friend wrote this. And would like you to look at it. And that framework of the memoir of Madame Belmont, where it's like there's this unnamed editor who's like, I'm publishing this correspondence of my friend.
Yeah.
Like reminded me of that. So anyway, I like Olympe de Gouges. I find her, she's got some contradictions that are really interesting to me. In terms of being like, yeah, women are pretty deceitful, but like we were forced into that position.
Right.
And then also being like, yeah, the revolution, but also the monarchy.
Right. That is all very fascinating. And I think it's another point. I always like to point these out because I think they're important. That very, very poignantly exemplifies that like no one is not complicated.
Sure. Well, we also didn't really get into like analyzing whether her abolitionist play was sensitive in its treatment of race or not, or the fact that she made comparisons between marriage and slavery. Like, we have talked on the show before in other episodes about the feminist movement kind of appropriating
100%
the language and imagery of slavery to talk about women's rights and how like that really diminish the impact of the horrors of slavery in a lot of ways. We didn't really talk about that in terms of Olympe de Gouges at all, but that also is like a part of her work and a part of the world that she was in. So I'm glad I finally got her off to the top of the list after probably 8 years of people asking.
This week, one of the things that we talked about was John Dalton and his anomalous vision, which most people would call color blindness, but is shifting to the terminology of color vision deficiency for accuracy's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I love this whole thing, as you obviously could tell. the whole time I was researching it, I was giggling at myself because my beloved and I are both kind of artsy folks.
Mm-hmm.
We get along tremendously well. The biggest arguments we have ever had in our marriage have been about colors.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just infuriated discussions of color. There is one pair of pants that, like, thank goodness it is gone from our lives, that I always said was slate blue and he always said was black that had just faded. And we would argue, bicker over this stupid pair of pants and what color it was.
Yeah.
For a ridiculous amount of time. Two artsy people arguing about color is no fun for anybody because they both have incredible conviction in their beliefs. It's very funny. People have such strong connections to color. I mean, mm-hmm. I thought about this with John Dalton, and it's a question we can never know because he never really said did he have a favorite color? I don't know. As a scientist, he seems to have been, you know, like he'll talk about which ones are pleasant, but so many of us get so attached to a color and it makes me chuckle.
Yeah.
I know your favorite color is blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing, and every time I buy stuff, you know, in the Able Sister store, it's like the blue one. My entire Animal Crossing wardrobe was just blue stuff.
Blue, 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 blue.
And then sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to get the pink one because my entire wardrobe is blue. I wanted to know that, like, there are a lot of accessibility issues that are related to color vision.
Yeah.
Like, there are websites that are anywhere between ugly and just unusable, depending on how they use color. I have a friend who he's always used the word colorblind, but he has color vision deficiency and is also a game designer. And we'll talk about how games are sometimes just not playable at all because they have used colors to signify different things.
Yeah.
And like you can't tell if that card belongs to one group or another because the colors that were used on it cannot be distinguished by people with particular color vision deficiencies. It relates to a lot of stuff besides, you know, like what color you decide to paint your house or whatever.
Right. I think we talked about it in our episode on the invention of traffic lights. I don't remember if it came up in the episode or if it was in a listener mail where there's a kind of famous one that's inverted where the red, green, and yellow are flipped opposite of a normal traffic light. And so for people that maybe have color vision deficiency and have learned that spatially in order when they're driving, that completely screws them up. That's don't do that, municipalities.
Right.
Don't ever flip your traffic lights. I think most municipalities know that. It gets to be interesting when I think about, like I said, in our family, we did not know that my dad clearly was not seeing color the same way as the rest of us. And I think we had a discussion at one point where I was asking him questions like this about just like basic stuff that we encounter every day that you're even taught as a child, like, look for this color, it means danger or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was like, to him, stop signs, he always learned by shape and never really thought about what color they were.
Yeah.
Which I think is a pretty common thing. But I do wonder then for children that maybe are not aware that this is a thing that happens, is there just complete puzzlement when they're in classes and they're being taught things by color as meaning,
right?
When they're like, I don't know, it looks exactly like the other thing next to it. Like, I wonder how many kids get really confused in those moments.
Yeah.
So if any of our listeners have color vision deficiencies, shoot us an email because I want to hear all about it. That's one of the things that I love about John Dalton's writing is that he's pretty creatively descriptive about how things look in a way that people that would not have color vision deficiency would understand. Like when he says, like, you know, what you point to and say is bottle green looks exactly the same to me as red.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell those two apart. It's like, oh, that's like a really good, easy visual cue, I think, for people that have quote unquote normal vision to understand what's going on a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a fascinating thing because so many things happen in your brain to process the world around you that even so, I always have that almost like paranoid concern that we're all seeing everything slightly differently, even though you can take tests on online to see if you have any color vision anomalies or not. Yeah, will we ever really know if we're seeing things exactly the same way? I don't know. So thank you for spending time with us this week. We hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. As always, you can always subscribe to the show in the iHeartRadio app, at Apple Podcasts, or wherever it is you listen.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.